Turn with me, please, to Romans chapter 8. Promising, exciting passages of Scripture in the Bible. And it is the indication that Paul gives to us to declare what we have to expect in the days ahead, so that we can understand that God has great hope in His church and through His church. Verse 19 says, "The earnest expectation of the creation," or that's creature, creation, "waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him that has subjected the same in hope." Translation: when Adam and Eve had their fall, then the Lord didn't just destroy the earth. He subjected it to a time of corruption. And not because He wanted to, but by reason of Him that subjected the same in hope. He did all of this because He said, "I'm not writing you off. I'm going to fix this mess, and we're going to start all over again, and what you have in the end is going to be better than what you had in the beginning. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered." What on earth is the creation? It's the whole earth. It's everything on the earth. It's probably even that that is way beyond the earth. "It shall indeed be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." Point being, the children of God have already entered into glorious liberty, and now the earth is going to catch up. "For we know that the whole creation is groaning and travailing in pain together until now." Now the whole creation hasn't given up, hasn't been written off. It's having birth pangs. It knows that the time is near where God is going to reveal the power of His people. He's going to work through them. He's going to return to them. He's going to give all of them glorified bodies. And it's going to be the wonderful reality. The earth is not going to be renewed without first our being renewed. In other words, the earth is waiting for us. And not only they, but ourselves also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves. He's saying we've got a deposit. We have a down payment. We have the first fruits of the Spirit. And we groan within ourselves. How many of you ever said, "I've got to get out of this body that's holding me back and hindering me"? Waiting for the adoption, to wit, what I mean, he says, by that complete adoption is the redemption of our body. Now, when our body is completely redeemed, it means that it is, those that are dead shall be resurrected. Those that are alive when Jesus returns will be given glorified body. We'll all have bodies like Jesus' body, His glorified body. And our bodies are groaning to see this happen. But let me tell you this. Every time a person is supernaturally healed, it's a little flash of this action. That same Spirit, the Scripture says, that raised Jesus from the dead shall quicken your mortal body. Every time the power of the Spirit of God overcomes the power of sin and death working in our normal mortal bodies, every time that overcoming happens, you have a quick little resurrection, little peace. The Lord wants you to get an idea of what that's going to be like, to just be suddenly transformed. There's coming a day when God's plan of redemption will be complete. Some people think that redemption just means I get saved and don't have to go to hell. That's part of it. But redeem means to buy back. All of the problem with the fall of Adam was bought back in the last Adam, Jesus Christ. And He is going to buy back everything that Adam lost, which was daily communion and fellowship with God, which was having dominion over the whole earth and everything in it, which was a beautiful earth without any spots, without any problem, without anything that was difficult or not beautiful. He's going to redeem all of that. Now, I realize that the underlings of this world actually believe that through carbon emissions and managing such things, that they can transform this earth. It's a drop in the bucket. Let them go ahead if they need something to do. But the Lord has already got it planned out. And nothing's going to change this. It's all through your Bible. It's not a verse taken out and stood on all fours. This is all through your Bible. And the earth will be redeemed when we are redeemed from the curse. Fully redeemed. That was neat what Jane was praying about this morning. Being redeemed from the curse. This is the plan of God. Galatians 3:13 says, we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. We've been redeemed from the curse of diseases. Jesus has already bought it back. And it's His desire for it to be implemented, manifested in our bodies fully and completely. When Adam fell, not only was Adam corrupted, but the earth was cursed. That's in your Bible, Genesis. I know you're all such scholars here, I'm not taking the time to read it. But when God made the earth, there was nothing but good. I know, because the scripture said, and God said it was good. That's how I know everything on it was good. Because God said so. It was good. God had a plan to redeem it from the time Adam and Eve blew it. And also through the last Adam and through His power that He's given to us to redeem the earth in the end. And this is why the earth is groaning and travailing. The earth's redemption depends on man's redemption. How do we know that God wants to change the earth? Isn't He just going to blow this thing up? Aren't things just going to get worse and worse until the Lord finally just shoots the whole thing all to pieces and takes everybody to heaven and we're just going to hide out there for eternity? Actually, the Bible doesn't say that. According to the Word of God, God considers earth a real prize. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And He has turned it over to the management of the children of men. That's in your Bible. It's His earth. And He is not at all going to destroy it. In fact, He's going to make it new. And I've already preached to you about the new earth. So how do we know that God wants to change the earth? Isaiah 11, way back in Isaiah. Verses 6 through 9. Listen how the Lord plans to change the earth. Is this going to be in the millennium? Is this going to be in the new earth? How about just taking the truth and leaving the time to God? It would be good, because when the time comes, if I'm around, I'm going to really enjoy it. Verse 6, the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. Is that going to be neat? No big dogs jumping on little dogs. The leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the young lion and fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. And the cow and the bear shall feed their young ones, shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. His appetite's going to change. So is ours. And the sucking child, get this, shall play on the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice's den. Reason being, ain't no snake going to bother nobody. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. You know why we got so many problems? Lack of knowledge of the Lord. When the earth gets full of the knowledge of the Lord, everything gets fixed. And He said the knowledge of the glory of the Lord in another passage shall cover the earth as the water covers the sea. This is going to happen. In order for this to happen, the sons of God, according to Romans 8, have to be manifest or revealed in their power. Last week I shared that Jesus is held in the heavens until the things the prophets have spoken are accomplished. So on that day, Peter revealed, this was the day, Pentecost, is when Peter preached that, when the power was poured out to accomplish these things. The power has been poured out. He preached out of Joel. He said, this is that. Is that exciting or what? The power began to be poured out over 2,000 years ago so that these sons can be manifested, so that the power of God can be revealed through His servants. There was a recent article. I get a thing for pastors on email. And the man was talking about how we must preach the kingdom. This is not full gospel. It's just, you know, people writing things. We must preach the kingdom and how to be a part rather than how to be a part of the kingdom rather than preaching messages telling people how to succeed on their jobs on earth. Amen. Nothing more. He said we need to lift ourselves up and get into business of where we've been called here to be, is to be ambassadors. Our citizenship is in heaven. And we need to start preaching to people so they can lift their eyes up and know that there is more than just success here on this earth for whatever our purposes may be. I preached not long ago about setting our affections on things above. Now the scripture says that the earth is going to be changed, not just the people, but the earth. Now we're in Southwest Virginia. You know, I understand some of these things, you know, strip mining made that area so ugly in places. I've been in South Africa where they took me to see the leftovers of the gold mines. Just huge piles of dirt everywhere, just a mess. And people kind of have the idea of what a shame what we've done to this beautiful world that God put here. No problem. He's going to fix it so it's a whole lot better than it ever was. Peter said this about how it's going to happen. 2 Peter 3:10 through 14. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, that is to people that are not believers that don't know what's going to happen. It's not going to come as a thief in the night to us. But if you don't know some of these things I'm teaching you, you might be have the liver scared out of you. And also, you might be very sad and perplexed about the days ahead. You might get to the place where you're not excited about the things of God. But I'm telling you, God's going to fix the things that have been wrong. And in the end, His name is going to have glory from one end of the earth to the other. The day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. You know, I was thinking, we're really into people like loud these days. Poor Iverna was, you know, Iverna's 85, and so I heard the message she was preaching at that conference. She said, you know, music has gotten me so loud. Maybe they're practicing for the heavens. For the great noise. Talk about woofers. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Oh, that's going to be an atomic explosion. You don't have any idea what it's going to be. It seems to me that the Lord is just going to scrub the whole thing up. He's just going to roll back the heavens like a scroll. He's going to clean up the earth. It seems like He's just going to take the corruption out of it somehow and give a new earth without any corruption in it. And the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. You don't like what's been going on? Well, it's okay. The Lord's going to burn all that up. Seeing, I really, one thing I want to do is read the Bible to you. I want you to know these things are in your Bible. Because a lot of people don't know it's in their Bible. And even if it's there, it probably doesn't mean anything. And we get so mystically oriented, we don't understand these things are real. This is what's going to happen. Seeing then all these things shall be dissolved. Now, this is really going to happen. There's going to be an earth meltdown. It ain't going to be anything at all like what we experienced there in Japan. with the, that, that's a, just a tiny little thing. And I found out the other day that in the scripture when it talks about wormwood falling into the sea and a third of the earth being affected by it, I found out that's the same word as Chernobyl. Seems to me like some of these things have already come to pass. See, a lot of people have things, they think they've got their timeline all exactly right, but some of the tribulations and all of those things have already come to pass. We don't just exactly know what has come to pass and what is yet to come. But seeing that all manner of these things shall be dissolved, here's the point. What manner of persons ought you to be? In all holy conversation and godliness. We ought to be awestruck by this. You know why we're not? Because people don't preach it anymore. One reason is they become so earthbound, they're no heavenly good. Preachers too. And preachers don't know anything but how big a house they can have and how big a place they can have. And they're many times caught up in the things of this world. What kind of people ought we to be in all of our holy conversation and godliness? Listen, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The scripture says we need to look for it or yearn for it. And the real translation of the Greek interpretation of it is, and we ought to hasten that day. We ought to speed it up. We ought to hasten it. We ought to speed it up. We ought to bring back the king. We ought to get on this thing. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. I went to that church and heard that woman preaching. I'd never heard that stuff. That's why I'm reading it to you from the Bible. This is not science fiction. Jurassic Park can't hold a candle to this. It's a new, listen to this. Nevertheless, we according to his promise. This is the promise of God. We are looking for new heavens, a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. We're looking for a righteous earth. Things are awful. They're going to get worse and worse. It's so much worse now than it used to be. Everything has just gotten absolutely awful. And some people have an eschatology that has it getting so awful, your only hope is to try to find a fire escape somewhere. But the Word of God tells us that the sons of God, when they are manifested, are going to come in such a redemption themselves that then the earth is going to take its cue and it's going to come into its own redemption. And never forget, I didn't really know what he's talking about, but John Jimenez's pastor, many, many years ago, he was preaching something out of this category and he said, every little rabbit that's ever had to outrun the wolf, the fox, or the gun is going to say, thank God. Everybody now has the same chance. You know what we call the food chain, the law of nature we're so in love with? It's a curse. It's a part of the curse. The Lord's going to fix all that. I'm not making this up. I read you the scripture. This is wonderful. We can have lion pets. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things. How many of you are looking for such things? Be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Now, of all the things, and there are so many ways, mostly it's about the timing that people have differences. It's not so much about the things that are going to happen. Although some of the things that are obviously going to happen, like new heaven, new earth, some people make that a mystical thing. It's not really going to happen. But you can just mysticize everything if you want to, and nothing's ever going to happen. The Bible doesn't say that's a mystical thing. It doesn't say that this is an allegory. And it's all through your Bible. It's in a number of places in the Bible that there will be a new earth, a new heaven. So then there's going to be 1,000 years, what is referred to sometimes as a millennial reign. Interestingly, Jesus didn't talk about the millennial reign to the Jews, but he talked about in the time of regeneration or times of redemption. It was presented, the language was a little bit different depending on who the audience was. But here's the point. Jesus had an eschatology. Paul had one. Peter had one. And you put them all together, you will find that they're really saying the same thing. But people have some ideas, and maybe you were brought up in a church and you were taught the timeline is this, 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 and this. I'm thankful that I went to Bible college, and this is before I studied at CLST Global. And I went to a Bible college, and I was taught the different ways that people have taught this, instead of you must believe this. That's how I was taught. If you're not careful, you lose charity with one another over this, which is dumb as can be. Like we know anything. We do know some things. And we know what we must believe. And there are the things that we can believe. Then David Schock said that he had the pan theory. He thought it was all going to pan out in the end. When I first went to Bible school, somebody approached me and asked me if I was pre or post. Scared me to death. I didn't know if I was a tree or a post. I just got there. It might take a lifetime to work out a theory that you say, you know, that feels good to me. But here's what we got to believe. Jesus will return. We've got to believe that. He's going to return to this earth, and he's not just going to return in our hearts, as one of our people in our church we were in before said he was a leader in the church. Well, I believe the second coming of Jesus in your heart. Scripture and verse. He will return again. He's going to rule and reign on this earth. He's going to have his saints ruling and reigning with him. I like it. Why would you want to change that? I'd take that over a mystical experience any day. So we've got to believe, one, Jesus will return to the earth. I one time, many years ago, I took John to an Atlanta Braves game for his birthday. And you know what struck me? You know, preachers, they're just hopeless. You can't get them in really into the things of the world. They won't glue in too good. But as we were approaching that, I saw the lights from that stadium. And they were huge. They just lighted everything as far as you could see. And I thought, just a tiny dot of the light that's going to be when he returns. Woo! You won't have to look for the light switch to see who's coming. He's going to bring his light with him. Number one, Jesus will return to the earth. Number two, we should be ready. And we should speed up his coming. I like this. Now, I preached, I think it was last week I preached to you, that Jesus is held in the heavens till. These things happen that were prophesied by the prophet, not till everything happens. But the things prophesied by the prophets that God's given the Holy Ghost to people to help bring these things about. We have a part in this. Now, this is not an unusual thing I'm teaching you. Oswald Smith and people like this back in the late 1800s and early 1900s, they had a picture of this. Bringing Back the King was the name of one of their books on that. Speed up his coming. The scripture teaches that there will be a new or renewed earth and a new heaven. And our bodies will be resurrected and be like Jesus' resurrection body. This is neat. New bodies for a new earth. The animals in all creation is groaning for this to happen. We have a Holy Spirit installment or down payment already. That's why we're groaning. We've got some of the power that's going to bring this about. Then our body will have been completely redeemed forever when He comes back to establish His reign on this earth. The earth is not a hopeless, vile thing that God hates. We're funny. You've got to know the difference between the world and the earth. So when Jesus talks about a worldly spirit, when the Scripture talks about the spirit of the world, the spirit of this age, it's about the world that He's talking, not about the earth. The earth is wonderful and beautiful, and God made it and said it was good, and it needs to be redeemed. The systems of this world need to be dismantled. In fact, the Scripture says that it's going to be dissolved with fervent heat. And one meaning for that word, well, it is the word luo, which means to take apart. I think it's going to take apart all these dumb worldly systems. I don't know why somebody doesn't wake up one day and say to the other one, you know what? This is not working. People don't like to face the fact that what they're doing is not working. The earth is not a hopeless, vile thing that God hates. It's the world system that is vile. The earth was subjected to vanity in the hope of renewing it on that day. The new or renewed earth will be a place of righteousness. That's in your Bible. And the knowledge of His glory will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Now, how is the earth cleansed? My point is that God wants us to be ready. Yearn for His coming and speed up His coming. He wants us to understand how to be ready and how to live in order to hasten His coming. Think about this. We can live in such a way that we hasten His coming. In order for there to be a new earth filled with righteousness, where the knowledge of God's glory is supreme, there must be a cleansing. And cleansing requires judgment. That's how the Lord's going to cleanse the earth and make it righteous. Now, I just wanted, without going into great detail, I'm just giving you the skeleton, the things that are really important. There's a believer's judgment, and there's a white throne judgment for unbelievers. If you're a born-again Christian, you are not judged as whether you're saved or lost. There is not any more judgment to come to you because Jesus has paid the price for that. But it is clear from several passages in the Scripture, your works will be judged. I said your works will be judged. And the ones that you never have done will be judged. And rewards will be given. This is a Scripture that says His reward is with Him to give to every man. I mean, the Lord knows how He's going to reward us. Well, you know, I'm just humble. I don't really want a reward. Well, I'll take yours. Don't worry about it. There's not going to be any crying there, so I've got to do something to cheer you up. No, we're not. We're not humble. Come on, let's just open our hearts to Jesus. If He ever makes us humble, we maybe can be. We want Him to do that, don't we? When Jesus returns, there will be a judgment according to the deeds done in our bodies. Now, Paul confirms this. 1 Corinthians 3:13 through 15. Every man's work shall be made manifest on that day. For the day shall declare it. I mean, there's coming a day that a light is going to shine so bright it's going to show what every man's works have been on this earth. It's too late to do works after He's come. If you just give me a little more time, I'm a slow starter. I'm a slow oxidizer. I can't get up in the mornings. I believe if you give me another eon or two, I could catch this up. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's works of what sort it is. Everybody say what sort it is. Not what size it is. Now, I want you to understand this. A church can have 10,000 members and be full of corruption. It's going to be judged according to what sort it is. It doesn't matter to God what size it is. He's going to judge the kind of work. He's going to judge the motivation of the work. He's going to judge, are we doing work that bears fruit and that fruit can remain? Or are we just doing the kind of work that satisfies up us and then we're happy with it? Are we finding out what it is that God wants us to do? If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire, or by the skin of his teeth. And the scripture says that you can have works that will, when they're revealed, they'll be gold, silver, and precious stones. Or they'll be wood, hay, and stubble. Well, I went to church every Sunday. I got through that worship somehow. I listened to those sermons some times. Occasionally, I did what was taught. Now, it's not about that kind of wood, hay, and stubble. It's wood, hay, and stubble. We're talking about the heart that wants to do what God wants you to do. That wants to make every day count and everything we do be for the purpose of establishing His kingdom in the earth. We don't want to spend our time doing things that are just going to be wood, hay, and stubble. God doesn't stand by and applaud everything we decide to do. We may like it. We may tell people until we convince even the pastor, this is what I'm supposed to do because it's what we want to do. But think about the day that's going to declare it. So that's the believer's judgment. It's for rewards. And then there's the white throne judgment, Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15. And I saw a great white throne. This is called the Bema, the throne where God judges. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. This is the God of the universe. And there was found no place for them. You couldn't get away from it. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And I saw the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. Now some people say when a wicked man dies, well, he's better off, he's out of his misery. Oh no. He's just on his way to see what his eternal misery is going to be. Wicked people never get away with their wickedness. It may seem that way to us while we're here on this earth. But there's coming a judgment day. And the books will be opened. And it will be very clear whose are the Lord and who will be given over to judgment in the lake of fire. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I'm so glad my name is written in the book of life. I want to tell you something, church. This thing that we're about, it's not about, do I like this church or that one? Do I like the way we do this or that? I think I'm going to be doing this. Well, I don't want to be involved. It's about, have you really been washed in the blood of Jesus? Have you really repented of your sins? Have you asked the Holy Ghost to do a work of regeneration inside of you? Where the Word of God lives you, where you're hungry for the things of God. That's what it's about. And if you're not written in the book of life, you will be cast into the lake of fire. Even if you did go to church at Shekinah. You have to know God. You have to be born again. You have to know Jesus Christ. And by the way, what's so hard about that? I'll tell you one thing. I really understand that scripture that says the world will abuse you. Because it's abused all of us from time to time with its dumb things. and deceived us and beguiled us into wasting large chunks of our lives sometimes on things that profit nothing. Well, I'm almost through. Everybody say, oh, this is a relief. Let's go from hell to somewhere else now. When shall these things be? You know, the disciples came to Jesus there in the book of Acts. It was before the Holy Spirit was outpoured. And they said, when are you going to reveal your kingdom and take on this power? When shall these things be? And Jesus said, it is not given to know the times of these things. But tarry in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. It's not about exactly when everything is going to happen. It's about exactly whether we are prepared for His coming. That's what He was saying. Now, you know, there's going to be tribulation on earth. And some people think they know when the tribulation is. And because the dollar goes up or down a few times, that's what it's been doing ever since I've paid any attention to the stock market. It just goes up and down. And because this and that happens, and then there have been forecasters and prognosticators, and they all know how awful it's going to be and when it's going to be. And I just thank God that I've survived most of their prognostications. That book, Why Jesus is Coming in 1988, didn't go over too good. There will be tribulation on earth. I remember one of my professors saying when I was in Bible college, oh, you don't think you're going to go through any tribulation? Oh, really? Your plan is all worked out, so you're going to be scooped out of here some nice way, and because you're God's people, He'll never let anything happen to you. You know, that was about 40 years ago, and I've already had a lot of things happen to me that tribulated me somewhat. And so, and I remember him making this statement. There are Chinese people right as I speak today that have their tongues nailed to the floor for what they believe. Don't you think tribulation on the earth is being escaped? But let me tell you something else. What's happening in China today, I believe, has already started the greatest revival that the world will ever know. That big wave that's coming in over the little wave that was at Azusa Street, I believe has already started in China and some of the other nations of the world. There were, I'm talking 30, 40 years ago, they suddenly discovered there were 50 million believers in China. An underground church. You don't know how many they are because they're underground. There's going to be tribulation on the earth. We don't know just how or when. There will be a great revival. For sure, this is how the great salvation is going to come. Peter ends up his sermon in the book of Acts by saying, and all who believe on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's when I preached to you about the blood moons. I think that was last week. And the other time that you didn't get it. Just kidding. I don't get it sometimes either. Some people believe different things about when the millennium is and exactly when Jesus returns in light of all these things. Well, there'll be a millennium and Jesus is returning. Those things we know. That's what's important to know. People who believe in revival, like Jonathan Edwards, early 1700s, he led the first great awakening in America. He believed that it is through revivals that the church will advance and be triumphant in the end. If you don't believe in the church triumphant, then you can just lie down and die. Just get both hands full and be the consumer church. Get everything you want for you and your family and everything that you ever thought that you might need, and make sure that everything goes the way you want it to go, because after all, we're all just going to go down the tube anyway. No, the Scripture doesn't teach that. And it teaches that we have a very important part in preparing for these things. For one thing, there's going to be a great revival, and in that great revival, you talk about having your hands full. I'm going to be grabbing Don and saying, Don, quick, you know, preach salvation to this girl over here because she's got to get saved. And I want to make sure she hears it right. Well, just go over there in that little corner right over there where there's not anybody crying out for salvation. When the Spirit of God starts doing this thing, you're going to wake up and you're going to say, I am so glad that I believe Pastor and got some understanding of how I'm to pour out this that's in me. I really believe that some of you have heard me about getting involved in groups so that you can go and start pouring into other people what's been faithfully poured into you. This is how these things are going to come forth. This is one of the ways. There has been a great change in the last 100 years as to the numbers of Christians and God's testimony that fill the earth. Christianity is the largest religion on earth. There are over 2 billion people out of 6.9 billion people living on earth. I read the other day, you know what the population of the world was at the time of Jesus? About like the United States. Less than 300 million. So the world has grown greatly, and the number of Christians has grown greatly. There was a great revival and influx of Christians in the last 50 years. And Korea, at the turn of the century, 1900, had no Christian witness. And today, in South Korea, is the largest church in the world, with over 1 million people. Today, more than 30% of that nation is Christian. That's a lot of Christians. And they're crazy. They're not like us. You can't get away from them. You will be saved. Latin American churches have grown at the rate of 3 times the growth rate. There's a church there called Hotobichi Church in Brazil. It was, when they built their sanctuary, by the way, I forget how many people they have, 200,000 or something, I don't know. And when they built their sanctuary, you just get so that it can house several thousand people and they have several services. They asked them, how many pews do you have in here? And the deacon said, well, I don't know how many pews there are, but I remember that we ordered 1.5 miles of pews. The church in Africa in 1900 was 9%. Remember that Africa was supposed to be the white man's graveyard. I think America is becoming more of a white man's graveyard. There's more white men here to be graved by it too. The point of the matter is, today, it's 48%. And there's more Christians in Africa born again every day than are born. The American church is not growing. Hasn't been for 20 years, I think it is. These are statistics. It's not growing. Oh, the mega churches. I know. They got them from the churches. When you get people from churches, you're not exactly evangelizing. It's something a little different from evangelizing. And what you do is you raise up things that this is attractive and that's attractive. And whatever the reasons are, people have learned how to do church, but they haven't learned how to bring the lost out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And the American church is not growing partly because of the lack of interest and lack of faith in a triumphant and victorious church. Really, how many people could you talk to that would know the things that I've been sharing with you the past 3 Sundays? How many people would say that it's ever preached in their churches? Because what is preached is something on a completely different level that just deals with their little problems right here today. I believe with all my heart in dealing with our little problems here today and getting the power to really get it fixed by the Holy Ghost, not just talking about it forever. I really believe the Lord wants the church to be the model of how redemption is going to come on the earth. The final redemption is totally linked with the manifestation of God's sons in the earth. And this is how we are going to speed up His return. The Scripture says our posture should be, we are longing, we are yearning for His return, and we are hastening His return, speeding up His return, because He's held in the heavens until these things begin to happen. Time magazine back in the mid-80s said that the greatest change in missions in the world had happened in that decade because some churches and people had set themselves to go after the 16,000 unreached people groups in the earth. And they've been clicking them off, clicking them off, clicking them off. And when we say the gospel of the kingdom has to be preached to all the nations, I told you that word is ethnos, which means ethnic groups, not just nations. And that's why it was so wonderful when I was in Mozambique. I thought, what an ethnos. You do think in Greek, don't you? Just kidding. What I really thought was, what an unreached people group. And to go in there with nobody wanting you to be there. And then 10 years later, to have the Muslim radio say that Christians have taken over northern Mozambique. And they clearly said, now see if this is not what I've been teaching you today. They clearly said, but we cannot keep up with opening blind eyes and raising the dead. Why is that? The sons of God are being manifest. And the whole people are being renewed. And I want to say this to you today. It is a fact that while there are great increases in Latin America and Asia, and some of these other places, how it has greatly increased the number, while it has not increased in America. And in Europe, it has decreased so hugely, it's unbelievable. And I think it's in the last 100 years, the percentage of Christians in Europe was 63% of the world. And now it's something way down. Most countries in most of the areas in Europe, it's about 1% to 2%. Now let me explain that to you. The Scripture didn't say, I'm going to keep painting my salvation nation after nation until you see all of these nations come to me. He didn't say that. He said this gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached to every tribe, every ethnic group, and then the end will come. The way people receive it is up to them. The way they've received in Africa and Latin America, Philippines, places like this, has been fantastic. What we've really proven is that in Europe, they have rejected mainly the gospel. They'd rather have the Beatles. And what did they get out of the Beatles? Did you know? I didn't even know. Right as they were coming in, the Beatles. But, you know, I wasn't ever into the drug scene either. I didn't know Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds was LSD. I didn't know Puff the Magic Dragon was marijuana. What? I'm just a happy American minding my own business here. I read that they said they had 1,000 LSD trips. You know what they did? They reached into another supernatural region. And they pulled out songs that had the power to take over the minds of the culture and seduce them into being the same kind of drug lovers that they were. These things happened, and they began to lose the Christian witness. But the Lord never makes people follow Him. And He tells you what's required. And I'm thankful to my God that all these other nations have awakened. Hallelujah. It's not my business which nations sell out to God. The Lord asked me one time, because He asked me, I felt he asked me to go to India and work for a season. And I said, Lord, I just wish you'd do what we could do in America. I was at a meeting there where the people, the Christian leaders all got together and had this big meeting, all the denominations, everything, they all came together. And I was saying to the Lord, Lord, they're just so open to that, you know. I just wish that it was happening here. And I felt the Lord spoke to me, do you mind where I'm working in the harvest? And will you work with me there? God has a say in this church. And we are very fortunate that collectively we have the mind of Christ. And we do have an understanding that He's getting ready to do a wonderful thing which will touch even our nation. And it's the only thing. And so if we think getting people to go to church and being nicer and better is going to change our country, you've got another thought coming. It's going to take the power of the Holy Ghost. We don't need nice people. We need Spirit-anointed, Holy Ghost-filled people that can bring hope to the earth and can help themselves as well. And this is why I've been ministering these things to you. I think I'm going to put a comma at these messages, which I've ventured out a little bit to share with you. That I think that we can focus on the right things in our eschatology. And then that causes us to work in the right way. And by the way, I'm excited about it. And I want you to know that there's a whole lot more to it.